shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over WWCR 4.840 megahertz and 5.890 megahertz. That's transmitter 3 and transmitter 4. We're also being heard over WBCQ 7.490 megahertz. And both of those stations have internet links where you can listen online. But you can get the clearest link directly from our Nashville studio by going to our website, kingidentity.com, going to the radio page, and down near the bottom of the page you'll see a black box with several links, MP3, Windows Media, Real Player, etc. And you can just link there if you're listening on the internet. We always do appreciate your reception reports because we do want to know how our broadcast is getting out. Tonight, we're going to talk about a subject that is the opposite from what many people and denominations are doing, that is plain church. We're going to talk about the faith as a way of life that goes beyond the dead letter of the word, but is in serving him in newness of life, as Romans 7:6 says. Our topic will be the sons of God, our purpose, and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to participate in tonight's broadcast, our toll-free number is 877-924-7722. I'll give that again, 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAHS-RACE. We have with us tonight a guest who is well acquainted with this subject. He was ordained a Baptist minister. He was revealed the truth of our Israelite heritage. He's familiar with the anointing and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to welcome to the broadcast Pastor Frank Crawford.
Greetings, Mike. Sure good to hear your voice. It's coming in loud and clear. And I just chatted with the man at Nashville, I guess, a few minutes ago. So we've got a big subject tonight, and it needs lots of attention.
That's true. We can't cover it all in one broadcast, actually.
No.
But before we get to the topic, I'd like you to say a little bit about the Septuagint Bible. You're the publisher of the Charles Thompson translation of the Septuagint Bible, and would you like to give us a few words on that Bible?
All right. I've known about the Septuagint and used it since back in the 50s. I found a copy in the Baptist bookstore. And been using it ever since, maybe had it rebound a couple of times. But about 1962, it went out of print because a family printing operation in Colorado retired and it was no longer available. So I was able later to contact them and purchase the copyright on the Septuagint, Charles Thompson translation. And we've been publishing it since then. Soon after that, we were able to make our first printing. I guess it was out of print, unless you found one, you know, had been around a while in a bookstore, not available for 30 years or more. But we put it back in print about 12 years ago, and we've recently done the second printing. And Charles Thompson, Secretary of the Continental Congress, translated it from the Greek in 1808, made it available about 204 years ago, I guess. And it seemed like they didn't print many of them, mostly perhaps he intended it for the leadership in the church, pastors or whoever. And so we have been distributing it now for quite a while. And Thompson also, from sources I ran across, perhaps was the only man involved, finally, that designed the United States official seal. They had committees for a while, and they had disagreements. And one committee even showed Israel coming out of the land of Egypt and crossing the sea, and that was going to be part of the design on the U.S. seal. But since they had disagreement in the committee, they later, I think, put the burden on Charles Thompson to establish the official seal. But one college town where I read from the Septuagint, which happens to be my alma mater, it's a Baptist university in the state. When I read from it there one Sunday, a lady rushed up to me after the service, and she said this. She said, "I don't care if it costs $5,000, I got to have one of those Bibles." So you can see that the proper translation from the Greek, called the Septuagint, which was done by about 70 scholars that were experts in the Greek language, that translated it from the Hebrew almost 300 B.C. So now we have distributed in many states and Canada and I think Japan, Australia, and a couple of countries in Middle Europe. So it's been pretty much in demand. We have encountered relatives of Charles Thompson, the translator from Greek to English, in about 12 states here in America. I've met some of them personally. Some of them are great-great-great-great nephews of Thompson. And we've run into several. Some of them have the same name as Charles Thompson. So this Bible is such an impression. I know one case that a lady heard it read from in Colorado later. When she heard the Septuagint read from, not in a church meeting, but a fellowship meeting in a home, she got so excited, she readily wanted to give the man that read that from that Bible, she wanted to give him an offering of $5,000, because she discovered from that reading that she was an Israelite. So by her donation to him, that tells you how excited she was to know that she was an Israelite. Hallelujah.
Great truth. The Septuagint is generally considered the translation that Christ and the apostles used, the Masoretic, which is actually a Jewish translation or distortion, came, what, 2nd century A.D., something like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I tell you one reason the Septuagint needs to be in practically every home more and more. Paul Harvey made a warning to the church. You remember Paul Harvey? He was on about 2,000 radio stations for a long time. And I happened to hear him one week before he died. And I've been a fan of his for many years. I heard him speak in person one time in Jackson, Mississippi, in the big Coliseum building with about 10,000 people present. I heard Paul Harvey speak there in person. And Lyndon Johnson was running for, in the nominating process, to have a full term after serving out President Kennedy's term. And he was seeking a full term, which he later achieved. But just about a week before the election, Paul Harvey was speaking there, and I went and heard him. And he made this summation statement, the real punchline of his whole message, right at toward the end of his message that night. He said, "After all, what is this great battle about that involves men like Lyndon B. Johnson? What is this all about except a battle between the old Jerusalem and the new Jerusalem?" Man, I would call that a mouthful of truth.
Yeah, he may not have even recognized how much truth he was saying.
Yeah, yeah. So the warning he gave 1 week before he died, it's been several months now, maybe a year, time flies as we get older, he gave a warning that the synagogue of Satan had bought up every Bible publishing company in the world and almost all the Christian book publishers. That was 1 week before he died. Now, someone in the last week has sent me emails showing new translations already turning up. One of them quotes Wycliffe and twisting the scriptures every direction. And when I heard Paul Harvey say that, I said, I know what's coming. They'll be stepping away from the truth one step at a time in several different passages. Another translation will even be going further away from the truth. So anyway, we know we better be girding our loins up and being established in the truth, because we're involved in a great war.
That's something that Hallelujah. A lot of people don't recognize, that we are actually in a war. I think sometimes they recognize that the synagogue of Satan is warring against us, but they don't realize that we're on the other side warring against them and that we've been given the victory. I know when I first came into this Israel message, it was a very positive message that we're the sons of God. We were sent here to fulfill his purpose and the victory is ours. And now in many circles, there's a spirit of fear, which is opposite of faith, taking place.
That's right.
It's fear of the enemy. In fact, the government uses fear to control us. So that kind of brings us into the topic tonight, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. At the same time that the negative is taking place, there's a positive taking place towards restoration of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. You know, Paul said, I believe it was Paul, said that the letter of the word killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You know, there's so many that only know the printed word of God academically, and they speak from that, and they're promoting spiritual death. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that resurrects the word in us and gives it with authority. And I believe Paul said, we have not been given the spirit of timidity, but of love and of peace and a sound mind. And you know, there are different churches all over the country that are departing from the sectarian names. One in Nashville, Tennessee, we are connected with tonight. And one in Nashville, Tennessee, a man, just a layman, and his wife, businessman, they got tired of being in a dead church. And they learned the letter of the preaching killeth and does not produce life. And they took their son and his wife and started a Bible study there in their home. And a few months later, listen to this, there's such a hunger for the anointed word of God. A few months later, their group had grown to over 700 people. And long before that, they had to move out, rent a building. And now they have bought a building in Nashville property and going to build their own meeting place. And they're having a tremendous anointing since they are being taught the spirit of the word, the anointed word. They are having so many in the congregation participate in most any meeting along with the two pastors. Isn't that amazing? He gives them liberty to ask questions or express and share blessings they're having from God, and so forth. So this congregation is participating more and more, and they openly denied and fought against the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, where the priestly ministry is exalted above the people. They take their place at the same level as all the saints in their group.
A lot of the denominations, they teach a very shallow message of love, 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 but it's not a true love. We're told over in 1 John 4:17 that herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, boldness is far different from timidity. It's just the antithesis. And so we're in a time we better be bold. Listen, here's a thing encouraging, too, about the anointed word I'd like to share. I pastored a come-out group in Jackson, Mississippi, about 10 years and before going to Florida. And there we had a bunch of so-called civil rights marchers invaded a city up in the Delta, a good-sized city, and they were bashing in glass storefronts and seizing property like televisions and all, going to their motels. And the leader was an African comedian, and he had taken a vow there in the city square, and I used to play basketball in that city, that he would not leave the city until Washington officials sent military troops and placed the whole city under martial law. Well, it was creating a big disturbance, and a lot of the nation knew about it. And we were in a Bible study one night, about on Thursday night, and all of a sudden, one of the men, before the Bible study started, we were just fellowshipping and conversing with each other, and suddenly this man, everybody called him Pop because they didn't have any kids of their own, he said a very simple prayer. He said, for whatever God has for these marchers in the street, he said, I'll be glad when it's terminated and God brings it to judgment. When he said that, another man heard the Lord speak to him. And the Lord said to the other man, said, did you hear the prayer of that righteous man? And this man said, yes, I did. He said, tell him what's going to happen. Then the Lord spoke and said, within 48 hours, he would deliver the city of Greenwood, Mississippi, from the sons of perdition who march in her streets. And boom, what a word. Will be a sign unto you that you're my chosen race, my royal priesthood, my holy nation, my purpose people, to show forth my praises in the earth. What a word. Well, he said 48 hours would be the time he'd deliver. 40 hours later, Saturday noon, it was all over. They broke their vow and left the city. By the prophetic word, the anointed word, not the letter. The letter killeth. The anointed word in that brief prophecy delivered a whole city. Do we have a secret weapon there that we have not learned enough about yet?
It's the only weapon we have. We don't have
the
physical weapons like they do, not to the extent that the enemy does.
Mm-hmm.
And we're told that the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We need to stand up and be manifested, and that comes through the anointing of the Spirit.
Yes. And you know, Mike, there where you just quoted that, coming from Romans 8th chapter, it's so clear about who the manifestation is and what creation's waiting. They're not waiting. Creation's not waiting for these guys that's knocking each other's brains out now, seeking the nomination to be the Republican candidate for president. I never heard such ego trips in my life. They brag about they are such a savior that they can solve all the problems of the nation, and very few of them ever mention any dependence upon our covenant God, who manifested himself to the fullest degree in sending his firstborn son, Jesus, who paid the price for our restoration and redemption. And what a price he paid, and what a power is involved in that resurrection power. So, creation is not groaning for better politicians or different political parties. There may be another party or two that try to get started in the race going on now. But no, creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And you know who they'll manifest? They will manifest the firstborn son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Yeah, he's head of the body. And
yes,
certainly it's going to be restoration of his kingdom under his laws, and it's not going
yes.
to be a patching up of man-made government democracy.
That's
the
right.
Democracy is totally opposite of Yahweh's kingdom.
Yes. And you know, the word democracy, it's fascinating, and I'm afraid, Mike, so many pastors, I don't know if it's a spiritual laziness or what, that won't go beyond the English and look at a Hebrew or Greek word. But you can find it looking at some Hebrew words, and especially Greek, for the word democracy. And it's in the biggest dictionary I have of about 3 volumes. It's such a large dictionary. And it's in there, the word democracy, and it spells it out. Just a layman's dictionary out here, not a spiritual book, but it's laid out what democracy means, and says it is a representative government that totally relates to humans and has no connection whatever with God. That's right in that secular dictionary. And so it's made up, it shows in the dictionary, it's made up of 2 Greek words, demos for the first part of the word democracy, like D-E-M-O, and the word kratia, either K-R-A-T-I-A or K-R-A-T-O-S, different parts of speech. And the second word means rule or government. And so democracy means human government, or we would call it humanism today. What a revelation.
That's right. Like I say, a man-made law is contrary to his law, and we're told that he made us kings and priests.
And, that's right.
You know, that,
that's
it,
right.
That the judges would be renewed as at the first, restored as at the
first. And you know, Mike, what makes the Holy Remnant so small in number compared to the multitudes? The latest poll I saw on denominations said there's 30,000 denominations in America. When I was in graduate school back in the 50s, there was only about 25 different denominations in America. 2,500. And now there are 30,000. And they've split, and one translation used this word. I don't know if he was quoting Paul or who in one translation of the Bible. It's not too common. It said, the accused people back there are getting divided and mutilating the body of Christ. Boy, isn't that a strong word? Through the carnal preaching of the letter of the word, and they had disagreements and go start another group. They didn't seem, many leaders know how to be reconciled. They didn't seem to know how to maintain the unity of spirit, even though they might be a little different in their understanding of certain passages. So look what we have now. But aren't we glad that the valley of dry bones are waking up and the anointing is coming, and who knows what's ahead? Political government may be short-lived in America, a shorter period than we would dare say. Because
yeah, the dry bones looked like they
yes.
couldn't live. They were so dry. You know,
yeah.
Ezekiel didn't even know if they could live, but it said later
yeah.
that they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. And Yahweh said to him that these bones are the whole house of Israel. So we've got great
Amen.
Hope, even though things look pretty dry.
And you know, Ezekiel was humble enough when the Lord asked him, can these bones live? He said, thou knowest. He was humble enough to say, they look so dry. He had no idea they could live. But he said to the Lord, thou knowest. And brother, he said, prophesy. And the Spirit came from the four winds. Literally, it says the breath of God came from 4 winds to encompass his scattered people and breathe upon them. And then when that great army stood together and bone came to bone, sinew upon them, and the Lord told him, said, this is the, what did he say, the army of the house of Israel, something like that.
Yeah.
My,
these bones
what
are the whole house of Israel.
The whole house of Israel. And you know something that is tragic, Mike, is the distortion that's come through the years through letter preaching about the gift of tongues. When Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, he spoke one language, and the Greek word makes it clear that between his mouth and the hearers, God forked it into several different languages. And I've known people that had that happen. Tommy Hicks years ago went to Russia preaching, and the first thing happened, his translator suddenly cursed him early in the message and spit in his face and deserted him. And he said his heart sank down into his knees, and he thought he was so helpless, and said the Spirit of God came upon him and anointed him to speak the whole message in the Russian language. My, my, my. See there what the anointing does to the word? I met another man from England, went to Russia on a business trip, and his pastor told him to search out and see if you can find a Baptist church meeting underground. He did, about 300 people in Moscow. And then when he wandered into their meeting, they were singing a familiar hymn, Showers of Blessing. Well, he knew that hymn. He just started singing it with them. And by the time they finished that hymn, a bunch of them rushed over around him so excited, and he wondered what they were excited about. And they told him when he asked, he said, you were singing in the Russian language, and he had never studied the Russian language. So Peter, right there in the day of Pentecost, here we got about 16 small countries in the Middle East, scattered Israelites were gathered, the barbarians and the heathen wouldn't know a thing about Israel's feast days, and here they're gathered at the feast of Pentecost. And right there, Peter addressed him three times, I believe, in his message as his fellow Israelites.
A lot of the reason that the churches are stagnant on a grammar school level is because their pastors are holding the people back. They don't want them to advance beyond their own level of understanding.
And that's right. That's in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. If you have a companion Bible, in the fourth chapter, you got a lot of footnotes that will give you Hebrew or Greek words over in the other column. And it says there in one place that some of the leaders in the early church didn't want an apostle or prophet to come around because he wanted to keep the people right where they were. He was afraid that if they heard any deeper truth, it might shake up his congregation and he'd have a smaller group to pastor. And there's a footnote there right after it talks about apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, where it says that some of the leaders, and I've often heard, and you have too, a leader cannot take the sheep any further than he has gone himself. Isn't that a foundational truth?
Unfortunately, they don't want to go any further.
Yeah, right.
And they exalt themselves over the congregation just so they can have control, much like the government does. We have a caller on line three, Annette from West Virginia. Welcome to the broadcast, Annette.
Greetings, Annette.
Yes, good evening to you. I'm so glad that you're on the program this evening, Mr. Crawford. I have your Septuagint Bible. I bought
right?
it many years. Yes, I bought it many years ago. And thank you. Thank you very, very much. I do have a couple of comments. I found in a book that was printed by a ministry in Pennsylvania that went out of business. They were talking about the book of Revelation, where it speaks of the 144,000, and it stated that the correct translation was thousands of 144s. And the reason why I was so delighted to read that is because I just felt that it was really limiting the flock to such a small number when, if there are thousands of 144s, that means that there will be groups all over the place.
Amen. Amen. You're exactly right. And Ed, I'm glad you called. That's a good bit of information. And many different people that I have shared fellowship with, they feel it's going to be a lot more than 144,000, literally.
Well, that was an answer to my question. I pray for answers, and I have been very blessed.
Good. Listen, may I recommend you, since you have a Septuagint, turn to Isaiah when you have time, 22nd chapter, and start reading at the 17th verse and go to the end of the chapter. That'll be 7 or 8 verses, and it's describing a situation almost like we have in America. And it'll tell you what God's going to do about it. There's only 2 words that'll give you a problem. In the 20th verse, it's got 2 words in Hebrew. And those 2 words in Hebrew mean this: Messiah, Son of God. And it's saying the government's going to be taken away from your rulers and given to the Messiah, the Son of God.
Oh, I believe it.
And it surely is in need at this hour.
It certainly is. Yes, Americans are sensing that something is very wrong, but they really do not know how bad it really is. And that brings to mind something. If you have another moment, may I mention something else? For a long time, several years ago, I learned about the underground cities that have been built by the government. And in 1991, I learned from a very high-ranking, credible military man that there were already 90 underground cities.
My
now, yes. Now, there was a gentleman I forgot his first name, but his last name was Hope, and he wrote a book called America Sold Out. And he had a great deal of inside information in that book. And also Al Cuppet, that name may be familiar to you. He was in the military, and he's been on different shortwave programs. He endorsed that book and said he was familiar with the contents. And what I knew in 70s, that they were torturing American dissidents in those underground cities. Mm-hmm. And you know who was doing it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Kenites were doing that. And that's what bothers me, that this has been going on and there's not a word out there, because that's what we need our military for, not to go fighting these illegal wars, but to secure our borders and to protect our states.
Yes.
And do something about these evil demons that are running these underground cities.
That's right. And you know, one of the first underground cities I heard was built to house all the federal government in Washington, D.C., from the president and the Congress and many other departments. And now, with all this war, it looks like they're trying to get one going against Iran. But in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, God says clearly that Satan tried to exalt his throne above God's throne, and he's going to bring him down, and he's going to destroy the men who filled the earth with wars. And Paul Harvey told this and quoted it from the GAO. That's the General Accounting Office of the U.S. government. They said not too long ago that George Bush profited $50 million a year out of the Iraqi war,
and Vice President Cheney profited $100 million a year.
Oh, that man, Cheney, is a lizard, a demonic lizard.
Yep.
He really is. And I lived in Washington, D.C. over 30 years. And I knew that right outside of Washington in Virginia was one of their major underground cities. That's where the so-called government was going to go. And the other place is under Denver. One of the largest in the United States is under Denver.
Denver, Colorado?
Yes.
Yeah. And see, if they go deep enough underground, they don't have any problem about a cave-in from above at all. Of course, they got the earth undergirded with structural steel and whatever else they have. Listen, I wanted to mention this, Annette. I made a trip not long ago to Union, Kentucky, and the Lord commanded me to be there that weekend, and they had three pastors, and the service started Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and would you believe those folks would not go and eat about 12:30, and I asked the congregation, aren't you going to lunch today? And a man's voice thundered from the congregation, and he said, America is in great peril, and we want to know what God's going to do about it. And then, would you believe, the singing and worship continued, and the meeting, Sunday morning meeting, lasted 4 hours. And then when it came to an end, I saw a little girl, looked about 8 years old, sitting way in the corner of the sanctuary, as if she was afraid to be close to people. And I asked the senior pastor, I said, is that little girl over there handicapped? He said, that's our daughter. I said, what's wrong with her? He said, she's epileptic and can't send her to school. She'll run out of the classroom, go hide in the restrooms. But she was really 14 and sort of stunted due to her affliction. And I said to her, before I knew what I had said, I said, she will not be epileptic after today. I asked the pastor's wife to lay hands on her, and we laid hands on her and prayed for her, and God instantly healed her of epilepsy and also cast a spirit of fear out of her. Went to school the next day, stayed in class all day, came home, threw up her hands to her parents, and said, everybody loves me.
Oh,
what a miracle.
Oh, that is just stupendous. Oh, Mr. Crawford, you know, after hearing something so divine, I hate to inject another thought that I had about the underground cities. The government had discovered some kind of a composition which they plastered the walls of the underground with that was so solid that those walls would not break. And I had learned that at the time. I don't remember what it's called.
See, the wicked would like to know that they can control their high positions of usurped leadership throughout all generations. They do not humble themselves to surrender to God. And little do they know, the government of the King of Kings will not be superimposed upon political government. But the government of God will replace political government, and the Babylonian religious system will go down with it. With
Amen.
Political government.
Yeah, pretty jolly. I'd like to thank you, Annette, for your call. We have another caller online.
Thank you, Annette.
I'd like to thank you. Like you said, for your call, you'd add it to the broadcast. We have Buddy from Knoxville, Tennessee. You're on the air, Buddy.
Hey, I'm really thankful you guys are putting out, and I pray that anybody out there listening wants to keep this on the air and will support this broadcast ministry. I had one thing that I was really thrilled to hear about is how much Pastor Crawford was talking about the anointing. We get so caught up in this evil terminology today where the Jews have just changed the definition of everything.
Yeah.
And everybody's running around being a Christian and all that kind of stuff. And Christianity today doesn't bear any resemblance to the word of Jesus Christ. But I like him going back to the Greek. And the Greek word, Christos, simply means the anointing.
That's
and
right.
Many of y'all been talking about the anointing. It's time that we became the anointed of Yahweh God.
Yes.
And I'm just so thrilled to hear the discussion about the anointing. You mentioned one thing about democracy and all this voting, and the only time they did any voting in the Bible, it always went contrary to God. And probably the greatest recollection is where all the people cried and voted for Barabbas instead of Jesus.
That's right.
And I think that's what we got going on today, even in this thing called Christianity. And I'd like to see them change the name and become the anointed entity. And
you know,
once
brother,
we get that power you've been talking about, things will change.
Yes, yes. And listen also, that the word, according to people, they thought Christ, the word Christ, was the surname of Jesus, but no, it's Jesus, the Anointed One.
Right.
So
when we
it's
get that anointing, things will change, and we'll be like it was over in Hebrews 11 chapter.
Well, there's a guy, a church in Florida at Fort Lauderdale. You may have heard years ago, Dr. D. James Kennedy, and I sent him books. About 10 days before he'd said this on his telecast, I sent him books. One said, Who is Esau Edom? And another one was about who Israel is. 10 days later, I heard him on Sunday morning coming through our local television, and he swung his arm out over the speaker stand, and he said, I want to declare the Christian nations of Europe and New Zealand and Australia and Canada and the United States are the scattered tribes of Israel.
That's quite
isn't that amazing
for a denominational preacher to say.
Yeah, he's part of the Presbyterian group that broke away from the liberal group. His church now is calling long distance all over America. They've called right here in my little town of New Hebron and talked to one was my sister and warning the people and the would-be voters that there's over 100 mosques in America now, and every one of them is training soldiers to conquer America from within. That's the message they're putting. Yes.
The more Satan and his bunch get going, the closer we are to the kingdom of our Father.
Well, you know, the nearest thing like Obama in the past that came into Israel's camp was Jezebel. She wasn't even an Israelite, and married Ahab. And later, she married her daughter off to the king of Judah so she could control the whole house of Israel. And the time came, the only thing that would solve the problem with her 450 or more, false prophets, the only thing that would solve it was the spirit of Elijah. And he met him at Mount Carmel, and brother, there's a good lesson what God can do for Obama or any of the other traitors in this country.
Right.
My, my. The last two verses or three in the Old Testament, I think, warns clearly that Elijah will come preceding the Lord, and some think it'll happen more than once. But anyway, I believe the word, the name Elijah means, my God is Yahweh, something like that.
Right.
So,
and the message is turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And
that's right. And listen, Mike, there where it says it's going to turn the fathers' hearts to the children, the Hebrew says to the sons, because small children may not fully understand fathers. And the last few couple of weeks, I am having calls from people I've never met face-to-face, one in California, one in Florida, One's a young preacher that followed his dad, who passed away in July. I've been in his church many times. His son David now is a pastor, and a guy in California I only know by telephone. He ordered a Septuagint Bible, and he called and said, "The Lord told me I need a father." And he said, "Frank, I want you to be my spiritual father." Same thing with the young preacher down in Florida. He got his dad's address book, and he read that scripture there in the last part of Malachi, and he said he'd felt the Lord told him he needed a father. He got his dad's address book and thumbed through it and saw my name and address, and he called me, and we had church on the phone about an hour and 20 minutes. So
that's
he wanted to find a spiritual father. So the hearts of fathers are being turned to the sons. And the sons and daughters will understand. But the church world has stagnated the professing Christians. They can't keep growing because the pastor can't take them any further than he has gone himself. And they're become stagnated.
Isaiah 56, 10, and 11, it says that his watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber, yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough.
That's right.
You know,
and
how
does dumb dogs fit DD degrees? Doctor of Divinity.
You know, our people are actually hungry for truth, but they don't know where to turn. You know,
they're
a small remnant like us trying to get the word out, but they're certainly not getting it from their pastors in the denominational churches.
That's right. A few nights ago, I was awakened in the night, and I heard the strangest mourning, like people suffering the loss of someone. It seemed to be a multitude of people mourning. It's just like a whining mourning. And all of a sudden, I'm asking the Lord, "What am I hearing?" He said, "You're hearing the mourning of my sheep that I dispersed throughout the world. And they're mourning, crying out for shepherds to lead them." And listen to a passage in Daniel, I think the 8th chapter, that says, where it says, there's going to be a scattering in the last days of the power of the holy people. No. The Hebrew says there, the translators twisted it on purpose probably. It says, when the power is restored to my people, that's when you will understand all the mysteries. And we're in the time of restoration. My goodness, God is working so many miracles. I've seen prophecies come that would be fulfilled sometime. Here's one that came a few years ago. Robert Kennedy was running to the nomination among the Democrats, and I like to say Democrats. And he was running in California, and a man came to my house, had been on an itinerary through Shreveport, came on over, and he spoke one night and said, "Robert Kennedy has gone out in the spirit of Goliath so he can be president of the United States. But he said the spirit of David is going out tonight to meet him in battle." And you know what happened? 4 hours later, Robert Kennedy was dead. Same night. So, see, the spirit of David, he said, is going to meet him in battle. Well, you can't separate hardly the throne of David and the throne of Jesus. Somebody.
Well, get off and let you guys keep on with the good work. And I pray people will support this ministry and keep this broadcast on the air.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate you, buddy. If anybody else would like to call, we still have a little time left in the broadcast. It's 877-924-7722. 877-YAWS-RACE, 877-924-7722. That's a toll-free number.
While you're waiting for a call there, Mike, it's good to know that we're in the time of restoration, and the scripture says if they want to see what American politics look like now, they can go and read what God told Samuel to tell the people. They selected Saul to be their king by democratic majority vote. And then Samuel had to tell him what's going to be the prerogatives of this king, which you chose for yourself when you rejected Yahweh. And there is a description of your sons being killed in war, heavy tax burden, confiscating your property, on and on. That's going on in America now, like that chapter was written to describe the American scene.
Well, all these wars, they claim that they want to establish democracy around the world, and that's completely opposite the kingdom.
Yeah, how hypocritical is it for them to be over yonder now thinking about war with Iran, and they've already still having it in Afghanistan and had it in Iraq, wanting to take this rotten, corrupt, perverted, distorted, demonic government of politics over and enforce it on other countries. That's an abomination. I pray the Lord will bring all that to an end, even the foreign mission program, and get this nation under the King of Kings and the righteous government thereof, and then we can be missionaries and manifest the living God. Listen, Mike, don't let me forget this for any hearers. To get a book called Mega Shift, M-E-G-A, Mega Shift, S-H-I-F-T, by James Rutz, R-U-T-Z. And he toured the world and found out, wanted to know how the heathen, Muslim, Hindus, and so on, are getting excited over the living God after worshiping false gods. And your mind will be blown what he found. Several little fellowships in Christianity that used to be Islam or whatever, they get so excited over the living God, somebody dies, and while they're digging the grave, they get resurrected from the dead. That book is full of that, by James Rutz.
The scripture says, the kingdoms of this world, the governments of this world, shall become the kingdom of our God. They're all going to fall and be replaced by his government, and that includes the government of the United States. A lot of people think it's just elsewhere, but there'll be no more democracy or man-made government of any kind, good or bad. It's going to be his government.
Yeah.
And I think that we're part of this because Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." Well, this broadcast is going out over shortwave around the nation, and we send out a lot of our literature, and I know there's others witnessing to the gospel of the kingdom. So at the same time, while things are falling apart in man-made government, his kingdom is growing.
Yes, and you know, the kingdom needs to take over right here if we're going to be missionaries anywhere else. And carry the government that's under the King of Kings. We don't need to spread this political government. It's demonic. It is corrupt from stem to stern. And every day nearly. See, way back there in Ezekiel, he said, the translation, you familiar with it, said, "I will overturn, overturn, overturn until he come whose right it is to bear the scepter." And we know who that is. His name is Jesus. And it says in other translations, usurpation, usurpation, usurpation. I will expose it until he come who will bear the scepter. So he's saying way back there, the synagogue of Satan, the descendants of Esau and whoever had usurped authority over Israel before our Messiah came.
Yeah, we can say Jews on this broadcast. That's what they're called today. We have a caller on line 3, Roger from Ohio.
Okay.
On the air, Roger.
Greetings, Roger.
Greetings to you folks. This has been a really good broadcast. I guess I had two things I wanted to say. One is just real briefly, I know it's running out of time, is that it's shocking when you look at the number of Jewish, I guess, Zionists who've been in the last several presidencies in our country and see how they large number of Jewish, how it has affected our politics toward the country of Israel, and we're not hearing anything from the pulpits to even bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
But And before I'll hang up and let maybe if you want to respond to that, but I wanted to know also, is there a contact number that we can call to get one of the Septuagint Bibles?
Well, we carry it, and I believe it's directly available from you also, Frank.
Yes, yes. You can get it from Mike or from me. Anyway, Mike's got some.
We carry it. We request a $45 donation. I think that might be a little bit lower than the reprinted cost at this time. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know, one bookstore in Michigan tried to sell it for $75, and they may have sold a few, but they haven't ordered any more. But it's always been sold like $40 to $50 since we had it put in print.
Would you give out your number?
Well, you can contact us, but we don't take orders, you know, with a credit card or anything like that. We don't take
Okay. So if I dial the same number.
At the end of the broadcast, we'll be giving it, but I'll give it to you quick. Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. And like I said, we ask a donation of $45 for the Septuagint. And Frank, would you like to give your contact information?
Yes, we handle it too here through check or money order, either one. And we didn't go ahead and make arrangements for the credit card and so forth. That involves a little more money. But we're trying to get it to the people as economically as we can. And we had a church order, 4 cases of them recently out in Colorado to make available on their broadcast. So many people are getting it. And I've met some of the people live over in Louisiana, some in Mississippi related to Charles Thompson that did the translation. And it's amazing what wonderful people they seem to be.
So
Mike, our time's getting short, isn't it?
We have a couple of minutes, I guess, left. So did you have any other comments, Roger?
Well, I'm a little befuddled. I guess maybe a little stage struck, but so it's Kingdom Identity Ministry, P.O. Box 1021?
Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. It'll be announced at the announcement at the end of the broadcast.
All right.
Along
Thank
with
you
our
very
website,
much.
www.kingidentity.com. If you have internet, KingIdentity.com.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, probably I don't announce it enough. You know, a lot of these churchy type ministries, they just get advertisement after advertisement. So,
well, I know. Mike, listen, another song's come out of Branson, Missouri by Tony Orlando, singing about America's other holy land, the USA.
That's the truth.
How do you like that?
10 seconds. Would you like to wrap up and give any contact information, possibly?
Well, blessings on you folks out there that tuned in tonight. We surely appreciate the fellowship we have with Mike and appreciate the opportunity for us to share together because we are joined in one body, one Lord, one faith, one God, everlasting Father, and our Savior is resurrected from the dead, and we know He is with us, and angels cannot be numbered that will watch over us in these days.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119.
That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.